Father, may we return that love back to you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. And now, Father, as we go into your word, I pray that those that are watching, those that are here, will have hearing ears and a receptive heart. Father, burn within us. Fire us up like we've never been before. Perfect a change on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Because of your word, because of your spirit, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Each and every one of you here this evening, appreciate you coming out. Thank God. Thank God for those that are watching us on the live stream, or you may be watching the recording, I'm not sure, but I pray you will be blessed and you will be receptive to the word of God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we are living in the last days, and I believe we're living in the last of the last days. And I have been ministering some things to you from the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation is about the last days and end time things. And I'm not going through this whole book, but I've been ministering some things concerning the seven churches, beginning with the church at Ephesus. So what I want to do right now is just go ahead and just read through the church of Ephesus again, and then we'll go on into the Church of Smyrna. Revelation chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. That's the seven churches. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Hallelujah. I'm so glad he's the God of a second chance. Verse 6, but this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And I'm not going to stop there tonight. We are going to deal with the Nicolaitans some more in the future, if the Lord says the same. But I'm going to keep reading right now. Verse 7 says, he, now listen to this, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, everybody say Spirit. Spirit. Now, if you notice in your Bible, Spirit is capitalized. So it's referring to the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you an overcomer?
Amen.
Yes, say amen to that. Amen. Now, I'm going to move on to verse 8. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna. And you might remember I told you a few weeks back that I believe this word angel is referring to the pastor, the leader of the church, although it could be referring to either one, an angel or a human being. The Greek word is angelos. But due to the context, I believe that it's referring to pastors or church leadership. Not everybody see it that way, and I acknowledge that, okay? Amen. So verse 8 again, and to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. Now, I want to stop right there for a moment. And I want you to notice something here. See, we need to have our hearts open and so that the Spirit of God can impart revelation to us as we read the Word of God. Now, back at Ephesus, Jesus introduced himself as to that church as being in the midst of that church. Amen. And we talked about that some before. But we need to learn from that statement. Because if Jesus is not in the midst of the church is dead. You hear me? They're just going through the motions, wasting time. We're told in the scriptures, in the Bible, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Our job as a church, and it's not just here, but everywhere, our job as a church. Now, you have to break it down because the church is made up or composed of individuals. Amen? Now, these letters were written to assemblies, a group of individuals. What pleases the Lord is when individual believers agree to come together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and agree that we are going to work together for him. Amen. In other words, we're going to provide for him a house where he can dwell in the midst of us. Where his glory will be experienced. I've heard it said that anything that's dead ought to be buried. You know that's the truth. And if it's dead, after a while it begins to smell bad. Y'all still with me? So Jesus, let it be known that he's in the midst of the churches. Hallelujah. And I don't want to pastor a church where he's not at. Unless they invite him in and folks start getting saved. Hallelujah. And start working with him. But now let me move on. So in Ephesus, Jesus said, I'm in the midst of the churches. But now in Smyrna, he changed it a little bit. In Smyrna, he identifies himself, and I love this, folks. And before I move on, let me say this. I believe one of the things that Jesus was doing was identifying himself relative to what the church was dealing with. If you're dealing with sickness in your body, you need to know him as your healer. You hear me? Hey, amen. If you are dealing with sickness in your body, if your body is under attack, you need to know him as your healer. If you are having financial problems and you can't pay your bills or whatever, you need to know him as your provider. I like to say it this way. Jesus is everything we need him to be. Amen. When we need him to be it. Amen. Hallelujah. So he identified himself to this church. Well, I tell you what, let me do this. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Let me just read a little bit here. Verse 8, chapter 2. And to the angel of the church at Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you're rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Verse 11, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Glory to God. So we see that this church was I mean, they were having a tough time. That, you know, they were being persecuted, and they were just having a rough time. But Jesus let them know, I am the first and I am the last. I am the first and I am the last. And he went on to say that, and I was dead, but I'm alive. Let me tell you something. When you're going through some tough times, and we've all been through some hard times, one degree or another, you can never lose your focus. And I believe that's one of the things that Jesus was telling this church at Smyrna. Don't lose your focus. I'm the first. And I am the last. I was here before anything else. And I'll be here when all of this is over with. And what Jesus was telling them and what he's telling us today, when it's all over and done with, you can still be standing. You can be shinier now than you've ever been in your life. Amen. Some of you have heard me minister this, but I like what, and for the sake of time, I'll just have them to put it on the screen. John chapter 8, verse 58. John 8, 58. And just let this build your faith. Jesus said, before Abraham was, what? Before Abraham was, I am. He's the first. He's the last. He's the beginning, and he's the end. And nothing in between is going to defeat him. And if we are in him, nothing in between will defeat us. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Now, I like this. Now, I'm just sharing these things with you to help build your faith. The book of Isaiah. You like the book of Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 9, I believe it is. Isaiah chapter 9. We're talking about Jesus, amen? Remember, Jesus says, I'm the first and the last. In Isaiah chapter 9, excuse me. Get my page back here. In Isaiah chapter 9, look at verse 6. Now, this is Isaiah prophesying about the coming Messiah. Verse 6 says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Now, listen at this. This is where we're going. And his name will be called. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. What does it say after that? Say what? Everlasting Father. Glory, hallelujah. Jesus says, I'm the first and the last. I'm the beginning, I'm the ending. I am the everlasting Father. It's his name shall be called Everlasting Father. And of course, Prince of Peace. Glory be to God. Are you still here? Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. I'm going back to Revelation. We'll move on. Colossians. Turn to the book of, before you go to Revelation, turn to the book of Colossians. I want to read you something that I believe will bless you. Bless me. First chapter. Colossians. Now I'm going to read it to you from the New King James Bible. Then I'm going to have them to put the New Living Translation on the screen. We'll read that as well. And this is talking about Jesus. Verse 17 says, "And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead." You see that? Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Now, give me verse 17, New Living Translation. Look at this. He existed before anything else. And he holds all creation together. Verse 18. Christ is also the head of the church. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in what? Everything. He is first in everything. Hallelujah. And we could go on and on and on and read verses. But here's my point. Now, stay with me on this. There's some things that we must know. There's some things that we must apply our faith to in the midst of tough times, in the midst of trials. And this church was going through a tough time. But they needed to know that Jesus is the great I am. They needed to know that he's the first and the last. They needed to know that he's the beginning and the end. Now, when you hear those words, what did the Bible say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want God leading me and guiding me every day of my life. But if the pressure's on, I don't want my faith to falter. On the contrary, I want it to grow. Now, if you're in a place where you feel lonely, if you're in a place where you feel like nobody cares about you or whatever you're dealing with, you need to know that God is there. If you're a believer, you need to know that God is there. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Says that he who comes to him must believe that he what? Let's stop right there for a moment. We must believe that he is. We must believe that he is the first and the last. We must believe that he is all powerful. We must believe that he is the great I am. We must believe that he loves us and cares about us even when we're going through tough times. We must believe that he is. That he is. But that it didn't stop there, did it? It said, we not only are we to believe that he is, but we got to believe that he is a what? Rewarder of those or to those who diligently seek him. So when the time gets tough, that's not the time to back up. That's not the time to slow down. That's the time to keep forging ahead. Let me tell you something else. When you are walking through a dark place, like the valley of the shadow of death, when you're walking through a dark place, you need to be able to hear his voice. Now stay with me. Don't miss this, because if you miss this, you're going to miss a big thing. When we are in a dark place, when we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, so to speak, we need to have his word on the inside of us and be able to hear that word. In other words, be able to hear his voice even when you're in darkness and follow that voice. What did Jesus say about the sheep? He said, my sheep, they know my voice. They know my voice, and they can follow his voice even when they don't understand everything that's going on, when they cannot mentally figure out some things, but they hear his voice. They hear the voice of his word, or they hear his voice from their own spirit leading them and guiding them even when things are the darkest. And that's what was happening here at the church at Smyrna. Jesus was saying, I am the first and I am the last. And he listen to what else he told that church. He says, I was dead. Past tense. He says, I was dead. But now I'm alive. And I'll never die again. And the reason I died was because of you. I did that for you. I died for you. And now I'm alive. And I'm here to lead you. And I'm here to guide you. So don't become discouraged by the noise. Don't become discouraged by things you don't understand. Just follow him. Just follow him. That's what Peter was supposed to do when Jesus told him to come to him. He stepped out of the boat and things got rougher for him. But he was supposed to focus on Jesus. Every step that he took, he should have remembered that Jesus said, come. See, that's the word of God. When Jesus said, come, and the wind and the thunder and the lightning just carrying on like nobody's business, but Peter should have been hearing, he said, come. He said, come. He said, come. Boom, 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 boom. He told me to come. He told me to come. I hear his voice. I believe his word. Oh, yeah. Are y'all here tonight? Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. I got to be real with you. There come a time when, you know, things do get tough. But you notice in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, put that on the screen for me. I just been quoting it. But Hebrews 11, verse 6, I'll read it to you again. New King James, give it to me, New King James, which is New Living's okay too. But he says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not those that are occupying their time with everything else but the things of God. They don't have time to go to church. They don't have time to pray. They don't have time to do anything because they're busy with everything. But you can't change what the Word of God says. The Word of God says we must diligently seek him. Hallelujah. If this brother, Minister Streeter, got some information that I need that's going to get me set free, get me delivered, and he's got some information, and I know he's got some information, and he's ready to deliver that information to me, I need to find out where he is so that I can get in hearing distance. Y'all still here? I need to know where he is so I can hear and understand his instructions. Amen. Any of you ladies, maybe some of the men too, but you ever been lost? You're out driving and made the wrong turn or just plain, or they had detours and just plain got lost. And I know we got GPS systems and so forth now, and sometimes them things can be crazy too, send you through some crazy places. But you ever got on the phone? Maybe you call your dad or if you call your husband and he talked you right through. Anybody, has this ever happened? But let me tell you something. If you decide that I ain't got time to listen to him, you're going to stay lost. You must listen to his instructions. Because he knows where you are, and he knows how to get you from where you are, lost, to where you need to be. So you need to listen carefully. Well, the same applies with the things of God. We must believe that he is, and we must believe that he is a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. Don't get too busy. Don't become too busy to diligently seek God. Amen. You may be making plans to do something or whatever, and God may see something that you don't, and he want to get that to you. But you know, if you don't spend some time with him and pray, you may never hear his voice. You may not hear the unction on the inside. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Jesus gave us a promise. He said, I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost, and he did. And one of the things that he's going to do is lead you, give you guidance, And my sister, sometimes show you some things to come that you need to know. Glory to God. But when you understand these things and things get tight, or you're persecuted, or whatever the case may be, you remember that Jesus is alive. He's no longer dead. He is alive. And he will keep us and lead us and guide us through it all. And that's what he was telling this church at Smyrna. Hallelujah. Sometimes life can seem like they're throwing the kitchen sink at you. But just remember, he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Miss Barbara used to sing a song. She used to lead it. He's alive. That song was a blessing to me. You remember Barbara's song? He's alive. And he is alive. Forevermore. Amen. There's some other things that I want to say, but we'll save them for later. How about that? Has this blessed you tonight? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Jesus loves his church. He loves his church. He loves you. Amen. Tell yourself that. Amen. Why don't you just thank him for loving you? Hallelujah. Now, having said that, Jesus loves you, and you need to love you too. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Jesus loves me, and I love me too. I haven't been perfect, but Jesus loves me, and I love me too. And I love what the Word of God says, what Jesus told us. And this is the second of the great commandment. First is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, everything within you. And then he said that the second is just like it, love your neighbor. But he didn't stop right there, did he? He said, love your neighbor as yourself. You are to love yourself too. And now I'm not talking about fleshy pride. That's not what we're talking about. But you need to love yourself because God loves you. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Hallelujah. Thank you for walking with us, being our light, even in darkness. We thank you, Father. Glory to your name. If you're watching tonight and you have not received Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, I want to extend this invitation to you right now. He loves you. Wherever you are right now, I just want you to know he loves you, he died for you, he suffered for you, so that you